Let us pray. O Lord, we beseech you mercifully to receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfill the same. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I'll never forget the time I picked up Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life and read the first sentence of the first chapter. And it read, "It's not about you." You see, in the story of our lives, we see ourselves as the main characters. Our stories may cross and intertwine with others, but the focus is all on us. Well, the Apostle Paul would have us redirect our focus and take a step backwards and see something beautiful and far grander. Paul would have us see the big, big story. It is the story of God that we have been caught up into. It is the story of God in which our little stories truly find their place and ultimate meaning. And at the heart of this epic is none other than the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And with the Godhead, we see that there is an intentionality and purpose for humanity. God has a plan, a wonderful, brilliant, mysterious plan. And this plan is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because of Christ, God our Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. In other words, our cups runneth over. They overflow with blessing. God lavishes blessing upon blessing upon blessing on us because Christ is in us and we are in Christ. Like any kid, I grew up loving Christmas. And in my household, my mom really went all out. And I'm not just talking about presents under the tree. I'm talking about decorations, food, establishing fun traditions, and the like. Christmas was a very, very big deal. It was a time of enormous blessing and joy and thanksgiving. There was always more than enough food on the table. The drink never ran dry. The songs never stopped. The wonder kept building and building and building. So it was always an incredibly sad thing when Christmas was done. Ordinary life set back in. The music ceased. The table was empty. The beverage selections were few. Well, with God, our Father, it's as if Christmas never ends. He continues to give us such tremendous gifts and pour out endless blessings because we are united to Jesus Christ. In Christ, this is what life is like. Our cups runneth over. They overflow with blessing. But make no mistake, our cups runneth over not just so that we can receive these gifts and blessings from Christ. Our cups runneth over so that we can also be a blessing in this world. In other words, we who have been so richly blessed must then in return be a blessing and share Christ's love and life with others. This is the big, big story that we have been caught up into. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. I want to unpack this passage looking at these blessings in terms of time, past, present, and future. The apostle, I believe, lays these blessings out the way he does so that we can see that they're quite extensive. So Paul first talks about the past. What we are looking at here, what we have already received and already enjoy, is the past blessing of election. Now, what does this mean? Paul writes, "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes." So this past blessing was before the foundations of the world. Just think about that for a second. This is how big God is. This is how big his story is. And you were chosen to be part of it in Christ. How does one know if they have been elected? How does one know if they have been chosen? These are frequently asked questions. And here's the simplest response by John Stott. The only evidence of election is a holy life. The only evidence of election is a holy life. You see, to be elected, to be chosen, implies a responsibility to represent our Father and our King. So because we have been elected, because we have been chosen, we are then motivated to live lives of holiness. Our election doesn't give us a license to sin. But within North American Christianity, discernment is needed. There are a lot of fans of Jesus, but not enough followers of Jesus. People attend church like they attend a sporting event. Yeah, we'll root for Jesus for an hour or so. Yeah, he's awesome. But when the event is over with, their lives don't reveal the holiness that Paul is writing about. They look no different from people in the world. So what about you? Are you a fan of Jesus or a follower of Jesus? Holiness of life is the evidence of our election. We receive this past blessing in humility. For we did not elect ourselves. We did not choose ourselves. We've been caught up into a bigger story than we could ever have possibly imagined. And our cups runneth over. They overflow with blessing because of Christ. So we've looked at this past blessing of election. Well, now we come to the present blessing of adoption. In advance, God our Father decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus. And this adoption into God's family is what God wanted to do. It brought Him great pleasure. Again, Paul notes that we should give praise, for by God's grace we belong to Jesus. And we have been adopted, we have been brought into God's family, His household. And Paul speaks of the kindness and the grace of our Father by buying our freedom with the most precious blood of Jesus. Jesus redeemed us. This is an obvious reference to the cross. But Paul also speaks of the kindness and grace of our Father by stating that we are also forgiven too. We enjoy this redemption and this forgiveness now. So by adoption, we have become sons and daughters of the living God. We have moved from one family to another family, from one kingdom to another kingdom. This present blessing of adoption also implies responsibility. John Stott notes, "It is inconceivable that we should enjoy our relationship with God as His children without accepting the obligation to imitate our Father and cultivate the family likeness." You see, to those who have received His kindness, wisdom, and understanding, there is a responsibility to imitate. If we have been adopted, if we have been made sons and daughters of the living God through Jesus, then we are compelled to imitate our Father. When you are adopted into a family, you get so many, many things. You get a new family, you get a new name, you get a new inheritance, you get a new life altogether. But as we've already seen with the past blessing of election, this present blessing of adoption is not just so that we can receive, but also so that we can be a blessing, showing people the love of God's family because we seek to nurture the family resemblance. More and more people need to come into this family. In a world full of broken families, this makes imitating our Father such a timely, crucial, important thing. God is building His family. He is building His household. And we are proof of this. And the family is not done growing yet. There is more than enough room in our Father's house. But we must show the world the gracious love of our Heavenly Father. And as we fathom the process of adoption, we see once again, it is all God, not us. He picked us in Christ. He chose us in Christ. We are children of God in Christ. We have been brought into His story, into His very family, and our stories are all the bigger because of it. Again, in Christ, the blessings never end. Our cups runneth over. Well, finally, we come to the future blessing of unification. And it may be here in this third part that we kind of begin to get some idea of how big this story actually is. For now we come to God's mysterious plan regarding Christ. What is this plan? Well, we find out in verse 10. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and everything on earth. Now, what does this mean? Well, John Stott breaks it down for us once again. God's plan is that all things which were created through Christ and for Christ and which hold together in Christ will finally be united under Christ by being subjected to His headship. In other words, there will come a point in time when the universe and the church will be in unity under the authority of Jesus. This cosmic goal is something to look forward to in the future. So hopefully the gospel of the kingdom just got a whole lot bigger for you. This unification means that everything on heaven and on earth will be brought under the authority of Christ. Now, why is this good news? Because not everything is under the authority yet. But this future blessing of unification raises a point about the gospel. I'm convinced that our understanding of the gospel is far too small. It's far too little. Again, Paul has been painting with a big brush in this opening passage. God is big. His story is big. What He has done is big. What He is doing is big. What He will do is big. And when we try to describe and articulate the gospel, it's usually about what we've received. Meaning we put the emphasis on us. We are saved, we're forgiven, we're this, we're that. Remember, the focal point is not on us. It's about God. It's about who we are in Him. We've been caught up into His story. This is what He's done. This is what He's doing. This is what He will do. And the plan has always been Jesus. So why is this good news of the kingdom such a good thing? Because everything is not as it should be. But it will be one day. This is the future blessing that is to come. Heaven and earth, everything seen and unseen, everything known and unknown, will be under the authority of Christ Jesus our Lord. And that includes the parts of you and me that still fight Jesus' kingship over some aspect of our lives. That includes the nations. That includes the powers and the principalities. Everything, absolutely everything, will one day be under His authority. So the gospel has gone supernova, meaning it's so much bigger than we think it is. This future blessing is our inheritance, an entire universe under the authority of Christ. No more sin, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. In Christ our cups runneth over with blessing. So we've taken a brief peek at these three blessings. Well, let us then see how Paul breaks them down. Paul speaks of the inheritance we have received from being united with Jesus. We're told that the Jewish people were the first to trust in Jesus, but now the non-Jewish people, meaning everyone else, the Gentiles, have also heard the truth about Jesus. The good news that God saves you. God saves you. When we first believed in Jesus, we were identified as God's own by the Holy Spirit, whom the Father promised long ago. The Spirit is the seal, and the seal is a mark of ownership. It is a mark of authenticity. So the seal means that we belong to God. So just think of when we baptize people, when we make the sign of the cross upon their foreheads with the blessed oil. What do we say? We say, you are sealed and marked as Christ's own forever. Well, the Spirit now lives in our hearts and marks us as God's own. And the Spirit is also the guarantee of our final inheritance. So the Spirit is the guarantee of all these blessings that we've talked about, past, present, and the future. The Spirit, in other words, is the deposit on what is to come. Because the blessings mean that we are His, and He is ours. Our cups runneth over. Amen?
Amen.
Our cups runneth over, not just so that we can chill out on the beach and say, hey, it's wonderful what God has done. No, our cups runneth over also so that we can give away what we've received, which is the blessing. This is why we pray what we pray in our post-communion prayer. We who have received the life of Christ will bring life to others. And so because of this, we see that our stories are not about us. It's about God for the sake of others. We have received blessings in order that we can give blessings away. And this is important, for God just doesn't elect people. He just doesn't call people and choose people for themselves, but for a much larger plan, a much larger story, for the sake of others. And we know from Holy Scripture that God desires that all be saved, that all come within the nearness of His saving embrace. And we have the past blessing of election, the present blessing of His adoption, and His future blessing of unification to assure us of who we are, of whose we are, and the kind of lives we are called to live as members of His family. So this is the responsibility of those who have lives with cups that overflow with blessing. My hope, my deep prayer, is that we may fully live into the story which we've been caught up into. This big, big story. Rise up, O church, and live lives of holiness. Stop being fans of Jesus and actually be followers of Jesus. Rise up, O church, and live lives that imitate the love and character of our Father and call people into His family. This is not just the work of clergy. All of you are sons and daughters of God, and all of you have a responsibility to call people into this family. And I take that very seriously. And I'm in your face about it because I have to be, because one day I will be accountable. Rise up, O church, and pray for all things in heaven and earth to be brought under the authority of Christ. This is important for prayer and intercession. This is the big, big story we participate in. This is the bigger picture that we are meant to see. Thank God our cups runneth over with blessing. This is what God has done. This is what He is doing. This is what He will do. This is the story that each of us has been called into. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your extravagant love in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grant that we, Your sons and daughters, who have received such gracious blessings, may be a blessing in this world. All this we ask in the name of Christ, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.